We're up to Perek Chof Beis, Pasik Chof Dalet. Chai Oni Nu'um Hashem. Hashem here is making a Shavua. Whenever Hashem makes a Shavua, that is a moment of pause. That is something for us to pay close attention to. Hashem does not make a Shavua that often in Tanakh. And when Hashem makes a Shavua, obviously Hashem is very, very angry. He is very frustrated. And he's making a very powerful statement. It's Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Chof Dalet. Chai Olinu Hashem Ki Im Yiye Kon Yohu Ven Yehoyakom Melech Yehuda. Even Ki Im means even. Even if it would be that Kon Yohu Ven Yehoyakom. That's referring to the son, the child of Yehoyakom. That's what we call Yehoyakim. Yehoyachin. Over here the Pasuk is referring to him by a different name. We're leaving out the Yud. We'll see in a moment why. Even if Kon Yohu ben Yehoyakim would Melech Yehuda would be Choysam al Yad Yemini, even if he would be a signet ring on my right hand, and that could mean many things. We'll see them far from either. This means that when a person, you go in the street today, who today would ever think of going in the street without their iPhone? I mean their cell phone. Right, today when you go, there are certain things that you just don't forget to take with you. So today you would not walk out of the home without your wallet, without your driver's license. Today we live in a society where you wouldn't walk out of the home without your cell phone. But in ancient times, you would not walk out of your home without your signet ring. Okay, this was something which was part of your who you are. Okay, your signet ring is this is your identity. That's really what it was in ancient times. So therefore, even if Yehoyakim Kon Yohu ben Yehoyakim Melech Yehuda was Choysam al Yad Yemini, he was my Hashem is the speaking in the language, the vernacular of what it was in ancient times. He was the signet ring on my right hand. I don't care. Hashem says, I do not care. I will do the unthinkable. Ki misham, from there, etiken ka, from there I will. This is a very hard word to translate. It's a hard word. What it means? It means to remove you. From there, my right hand, I will uproot you. In other words, Hashem is saying there was a for the problem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to impress what Hashem was trying to impress upon the people living in this time was the people in this time did not believe for the life of them that Hashem would destroy the Beis HaMikdash. It was just beyond belief. How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would destroy the place where He rests His Shechinah? People believed that they had Hashem over a barrel. That they had they were holding Hashem hostage. Like, okay Hashem, we do Averus. You want to punish us, okay? So punish us. The economy is not so great. There's unemployment is high. There may be other problems. We have some enemies. But at Kidei Kach, to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, impossible. It's just not something Hashem is going to do because it's not in Hashem's best interest to do something like this. And as long as we have a Beis HaMikdash, as long as we have the Mokem HaShuas HaShechinah, so when things get really bad, when things get really rough, if the situation is just unbearable, so we can go to the Beis HaMikdash, bring a carbon, do tshuva, and we can kiss and make up. And all will be well. This was the thinking, this concept, this idea comes out through the Pesukim over and over again. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to tell Klal Yisrael, you're making a very big mistake. Don't think that there's nothing that I won't do it. I will do it. I will go if I want. I will destroy the Beis HaMikdash. I will exile you. I will do the impossible. Okay, it's going to happen. Don't think for one moment. I told you the story a few times. I don't remember. My mother used to tell me the story. I don't know the details. But my grandfather, Zichron Levracha, Rashavshuk. So he was a very young man right before in the beginning of the war. In the beginning of the war. And when things were getting really, really bad, and he was Purim, he went to visit one of the Gedolei Yisrael, one of the very, very holy people. And this Gadol, his face was white. Like he saw, I don't remember who it was, his face was literally white. He saw the Churban, he saw the Holocaust coming. And my grandfather said to him, it can't happen, it's just not going to happen. Hashem's not going to go destroy the whole European Jewry. It just can't happen. There's so many kehilos Kidoishim, the Tzadikim, there's so much in Klal Yisrael. Hashem is going to wipe out the whole Klal Yisrael. It has to get better. So he went, and he went to this god, like, I don't know who it was, who was banging on with his fist on the table, and he said, it says, and it was right, it was poor, I think he went to him on Taina Sasu, he says in the Megillah, Lahashmid, Laharog, Ulaabed, Eskol Hayuhudim, Minar, Viazokin, Taf, Vinoshim, Vyom, Echod, Ushlolam, Lavos. It says in the Megillah, Hashem's going to destroy the whole Klal Yisrael. And the only reason why the Gezerah was removed was only because Mordechai and Esther, they succeeded in galvanizing Klal Yisrael, Lech Kinois Eskol Hayuhudim. And if not for Lech Kenosis Kol HaYehudim, that's right. The impossible is possible. It's possible. And that idea, and that, unfortunately, we know, Rahman al-Tzlom, we know what happened. Okay, in hindsight, 6 million people, I mean, it's just the horror is beyond belief. But the same way it's beyond belief what happened in the Holocaust, it's the same thing, maybe even more. Maybe even more when you read this pasuk. Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael, you really don't get it. You really think you can do every avera in the book, and even though I'll punish you, I'll make your life very hard and miserable, there'll be a siege, there'll be a famine, there'll be problems, but you just don't get it. You really think in the back of your mind that I'll never destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina is always going to be here forever, and in the worst, when push comes to shove, we'll go to the Beis HaMikdash, we'll bring a few korban, will say Slach Lanu Avinu Ki Chatanu, and all our chatam will disappear like a puff of smoke, and everything will be good. Hashem says, no, I'm going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to exile you. I'm going to wipe out this whole place. And then you're not going to have the opportunity to do tshuva. You're not going to have the opportunity to easily cleanse your sins. And Hashem over here is saying this with the most powerful expression possible. Chai Oni. I am making a shavua, Nu'um Hashem. It's going to happen. And Hashem says, even if I would consider you to be my signet ring that I put on my right finger, which is something which is unthinkable to take off. You don't walk in this shoe without your signet ring. Hashem says, it's going to happen. I'm going to do it to you no matter what. Okay, now another interpretation of the Chosim al-Yad Yemini is not the signet ring, but rather refers to a tattoo. Okay, it doesn't mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu has a ring he puts on, but just like a person goes, if you go and you don't want to forget something. Something's very important. I mean, I don't know, the tattoo a person would etch with ink into his flesh, so it should be permanently a permanent mark on his body for the rest of his life. There are techniques. There are surgical procedures available out there today where you can have the tattoo removed. And Hashem over here is saying, I'm going to do it. Even if you, Klal Yisrael, would be a tattoo that is permanent on my flesh, even if it's going to be, because even if Kenayahu ben Yoyakim Melech Yehuda, even if he would be a Chosam al Yad Yemini, he doesn't mean over here mean the signet ring. What? Al Haritu, but it's figurative. Even theoretically, if it was Chosam, if the Malchus of Klal Yisrael here, which the Melech we're referring to is Yechonya, the son of Yehoyakim, he was etched into my skin, Chosam. He was etched like a tattoo al Yad Yemini. Don't worry. There are surgical procedures that can be done. Kisham from Misham there et ken ka, I will have it removed, and it will no longer be a malchus David. Let's see over here what it says. What it says over here in the Mitzudos David, the Zuntai, the Pasuk Chof Dalet. Pasuk Dalet says Choisam. Now Choisam in the willing of you, like the first interpretation, means a tabas. It means a signet ring. Tabas kemoish choisam by a garrison, which you sign a letter. Hanosun tamid al yad hayimin, which is always in your right hand. Ve'ein mazizum imena. It's unthinkable for a person to take off his signet ring. Just like we mentioned before, it's unthinkable to walk out of your home today without your wallet, your identification, without your cell phone. Exactly, it is unthinkable. And you know, in Shabbos, you know, when the policeman stops you on Shabbos and asks you for your identification, and we have nothing. And there's no ID, no cell phone, they just don't believe you. It's just beyond belief. An Orthodox Jew. What? Baruch Hashem, I don't have experience. Baruch Hashem, but I've heard this from people. I've heard this from people who jaywalk and some very busy, not in this neighborhood, but there's certainly some very busy highways, a little bit in the suburbs. and they go to shul, and they don't go to the red light, and they cross in dangerous intersections, and they were called over by a police, and they said, "How dare you cross during the intersection, get killed? What is I'm giving you a summons. Give me see your identification." "Sorry, officer, I have no identification." "I don't believe you." "Liar. I'm telling you, I don't have identification."
And, I can't carry the summons.
And I can't carry the summons. And like, they just don't believe you. They just, and it becomes a very big problem. They have, I don't know, maybe they have some, I think they have in New York City, they have training, special training how to deal with Orthodox Jews. It's a min bifne atzmai. to deal with Orthodox Jews, you have to have special training to understand how to deal with an Orthodox Jew. I heard about Reisman once speak. He says he met with the police department, and they said the number one problem they have when they come to a scene, a crime scene or an accident, is they want to speak to the rabbi. They want to speak to the leader. No, who is the community rabbi? Everyone is the rabbi. Everyone, every Tom, Dick, and Harry is the rabbi, and that's a very big problem. And they wanted some system where, you know, there's not too many rabbis in the community. Okay.
Yellow pages.
Okay, let's see next. Okay, next. The ochaz, the moshel, b'derech hanog, b'ben adam. Over here, the yad, the choisam, yad yamin is an example that is common in time, in ancient times. Hashem is saying that I will do the impossible. I will remove from my finger the signet ring. In this instance, the signet ring is a moshel for, is a moshel for the malchus of David. Misham, from there, this hard word is a tongue twister. Ete ken koh. From there, I will remove you. Now, what does this word mean? It calls the osir oischa min hayat. If you look in the Mitzudos Tzion, this is a hard word which the Radak is going to elaborate, as well as Rashi. The Radak goes into a grammar lesson on this word, and the word over here in Rashi is et ken ko inyin ha'atoka ve'hasara. It means to remove. I will remove the signet ring from upon my right finger. We use in a language that is commonly used in reference to a ring, or it's an aloimar avshiato mizera David yichonia. Just because you come from the seed of David Hamelech, I don't care. If I want to destroy Yerushalayim and I want to destroy the Malchus of David, I will. Mikol Mokom Ezveka, I will abandon you. There will be nothing left. Okay, let's see over here Rashi. Rashi over here says, Pasuk of Dalid. Rashi is a long Rashi. Chosam al Yad Yamin. Rashi disagrees with the Mitzudais. We're not discussing a signet ring. We're discussing what we would call a tattoo. Rashi says, Chakuk. The chosum besoch besar besar 0e. Even if the malchus of David would be etched into my flesh on my right hand, doesn't matter. I'm still going to remove it et ken ko. And now, what does this word mean? Anaticha. I will have it removed. Surgical procedure. Loshon hatikem kitzon letvicha, to remove the sheep. To hatikem means to uproot them for slaughter. To take the sheep and uproot them from their place of pasture and bring them to slaughter. Ad, another example, ad hatikenu oisam, until you uproot them, referring to the enemy, until the Canaanim have been uprooted. Now, Rashi, that he told us the word means to uproot, which is exactly what the Mitzudos taught us, Rashi is challenging us to show me, prove it to me. Prove that the word, what is the shoresh of this word, and how do you know that it means to uproot? Vehanun yiserabo. And the reason, now the problem that Rashi is presenting is that the nun does not fit in the shoresh of anatcha, because the nun doesn't, Rashi said the word means anatcha. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing the Rashi the word right, but there's no nun. The shorish is aleph, tof, kuf. There is no nun. The nun does not belong there. So what is the nun doing there?
Alf is a prefix.
Oh, I'm sorry. What does the mitzvah say? Inyan hataka v'hasara.
Kof nun would be.
Okay, tof kun. No, not the nun. That's tikkun. Right. So that's not the word. It's no. The aleph is the shorish. The aleph etek. The aleph is the shorish, not the nun. Exactly. That's exactly what Rashi is coming to say. That aleph and the ayin can sometimes be interchanged. So I'm not sure. But the word is etek. Aleph tof kuf is. Vayatek misham hohara. Right, so there it's an aleph or an ayin. An ayin. So I assume Rashi means that the aleph and the ayin in this instance are interchanged. But the common denominator is that the nun does not belong there. So therefore Rashi is saying, how then can it mean the nun? So Rashi says it's not kasha. Vehanun yiserebo, the nun is extra. It's only there for a grammatical purpose, which we'll see in the Radak. The Radak indeed will elaborate and show that the nun over here does not need to be mentioned. Medrash Agada. The Medrash says, no, that indeed the shorish of the word is tikkun. The aleph is not part of the shorish, but the shorish is tof kuf nun. And that means tikkun. Tikkun means to fix, to rectify. So then it's an entirely different word. So indeed, the Medrash says, the reason why this word is spelled with both an aleph and with a nun is because it's really a composite of two words. So making a drush, it means to uproot and to fix. And this is a very powerful concept because this is the shoresh, the yisoid of galus. The yisoid of galus is to be uprooted from the land, but not for destructive purposes, but for the purposes of tikkun, of rectification. When we are uprooted and dislodged and transported to a new place, we rectify ourselves. The humiliation, the suffering, the experience of going to Golis is a tikkun for the neshama. So this is one word.
That's why you used to go Golis.
Personal Golis. The Gra when a self-imposed Golis. Self-imposed galus, you just go out and you experience, you misak in your neshama. About 5 years ago, there was a fellow who did this in America. Would you believe this? He did this as an experiment. This is a social, a frum guy. He did this, he made a lot, it was written up all over the place. It's a social experiment. A social experiment. He traveled cross country with no money. He just picked himself up. And he just started to go and hitch rides and ask people if he could stay by them. And it could be he even wrote a book on his experience. No money, no contacts, no cell phone. That was a social experiment. I mean, you got to be out of your mind to do this, right? I guess he is. But he did it. And he has, I mean, it's fascinating stories. It's just it's,
fruit, probably.
No, I mean, you know, he went. You know, you don't live on fruit. He went to a Chabad house, you know, for Shabbos here, and they get a hitch a ride here, hitch a ride there. He traveled, I think, from New York to California and maybe back with no money. It's over a period of even a few months, maybe. And you remember this? It was like five years ago. About it was written up all the papers, all the magazines. His experience. Remember it?
I do, but I don't remember the form.
He was from He was a from guy, and it's like the old, like he right away in the article. It was like the Gra. It was a self-imposed gullus.
This guy, this 93-year-old veteran, walked across the whole country. It was
I guess for a guy it's a little bit easier, okay? You don't have kosher food, you don't have all these. 2 years, he walked. He walked across the whole America. Wow, alright. Nothing better to do, right? This is a very beautiful medrash, and it's amazing how you could take the one word, and one word captures the entire tafkid of galus. It's to uproot you in order to be misakin. The aleph is the etek, is to uproot, and the nun is tikkun, is to tikkun. She'asen, and now referring to Yechonia, it appears starting out as being a very bad person. He gets a very bad mention here in these psukim. He was not a very good person. He was the son of Yehoyakim, who also was considered to be a Rasha. That's the main, was the corruption. His corruption was unprecedented, to build a palace and not pay his workers. And that was just one example of his degree of corruption. His son obviously did not have a very good chinuch, would not have chinuch habanim. And to add insult to injury, his mother was also a Rashanta. It says over here that the wife of Yehoyakim, the next part is going to Asher Yilod Yilodascha, she was also a Rasha. So she, you know, sometimes you have people that are no good, but at least, you know, one of the parents is good. Either the mother can be a Machashefa, but the father's a nice, able guy, or vice versa. Here you have both parents who the Torah, the Pasuk tells us, were equally wicked. So what do you expect? The son is also going to be a Rasha.
He's
only 3 months. No, Yehoyakim? Yehoyakim was only 3 months. You're right. Yehoyakim was only 3 months, but he was taken down. He was taken down to Galus, but he lived at least. And from him came he was there for 37 years. And then after 37 years, they finally released him from prison, and they gave him a stipend. They put him on a program, on a welfare program in Bavel, and he had a good life. The end was good, and he had a son, Zerubbabel, which ended up being the Melech during the time of the Bayis Sheni. It's very interesting that the last king was Tzidkiyahu, but Tzidkiyahu's children, they all died, were all killed. Nothing came from Tzidkiyahu. His seed was not the source of the new Malchus for the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni started, the Malchus reverted back to Yehoyakim, which surprisingly is the son of Yehoyakim. Isn't that very interesting? Let's review the whole Seder HaDvarim. After the death of Yoshiyahu, who was considered to be one of the greatest kings of all time, Yoshiyahu was a very great tzaddik. He turned the tide. The greatest Baal Tshuva movement of history. He tried to turn the tide. And if he would have listened to Yirmiyah, it could have very well have been that he would have saved the bias Rishon. It could have very well been that the Mashiach would have come. He would have been Mashiach. Yoshiyahu. He did not listen to Yirmiyahu. He did not allow Paro Necho to come. He was killed. He was killed by Paro Necho. 300 arrows perforated his body. Who succeeded? Yoshiyahu, his son Yehoyachas. For how long? For 3 months. What happened to him? He was killed by Paro Necho. Paro also killed him. Who took over? Yehoyakim took over. Now Yehoyakim was his uncle. Yehoyakim was the uncle of, let's take a step back, Yoshiyahu had 3 sons. Yehoyachas, Yehoyakim, and Tzidkiyahu. So after Yoshiyahu, the first son took Malchus Yehoyachas. He lasted very short, 3 months. Then the second son took the Malchus, Yehoyakim. He was not royal of Malchus. The one that should have gotten the Malchus at the very beginning was Tzidkiyahu. After Yehoyakim went into died, 11 years later, who took over? His son, Yehoyakim's son, Yehoyachin. How long did Yehoyakim last? 3 months. After 3 months, Nebuchadnezzar took him down to Babel and replaced Yehoyachin, not with Yehoyachin's son, but with Yehoyachin's uncle, Tzidkiyahu, who was the third son of Yoshiyahu. How long did Tzidkiyahu last? 11 years. After Tzidkiyahu died, I mean, that was the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and they went into Galus for 70 years, and 70 years later they came back to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, who now served as the Melech, the acting king, at the beginning of the building of the Bayis Sheni. So you would expect it to be a descendant of Tzidkiyahu, the last king. No. They had no children. So it went back to Yehoyakim's grandson, Yehoyakim, Yehoyachin. And who was the son of Yehoyachin? It was Zerubbabel. Some say there was another son in between, Shealtiel. There was Tzidkiyahu. I'm sorry.
It says,
quotation from Dayanim.
Shealtiel. Zerubbabel was the son of Tidoyah, then Shealtiel.
Ben Yechonya. So there's even two sons. Now the problem though is, there we once learned this, is that some of the Mepharshim learned that all of these were different names, all of them were different names for Yehoyachin. And Yehoyachin really only had one son, and that son was Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel became the Melech at the time of the Bayis Sheni. So it's very interesting, you don't know where the Malchus goes. No, it didn't disappear. I think Rabbeinu HaKadosh, if I'm not mistaken, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, all the way down to the
lip. It
wasn't the Malchus. It was a puppet Malchus, but the Nasi was always a descendant of the Malchus of it. So I'm assuming, I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming, let's say, who was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, was the last acting Nasi in Klal Yisrael, the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, 420 years later, when the Romans destroyed the Bayis Sheni, who was the acting Melech? There was no Malchus, but there was a Nasi. A Nasi. The Nasi was the equivalent, the closest equivalent to the Malchus. And the Nasi was a descendant of David. Who was he a descendant from? I don't know this for sure, but I'm assuming he was from Zerubbabel, who was from Yehoyakim. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe at some point in time it switched. There were other descendants. I don't know. I don't think so. I think so. It's interesting. You hear, you're dealing over here. You never know. Yehoyakim was mamish of Russia. They took his body and they threw his body like a donkey. Like we learned yesterday on the road. And then it was the Malchus switched to Tzidkiyahu, which Tzidkiyahu was not all that bad. Chazal said some very nice things about Tzidkiyahu. He was a complex person. On the one hand, he was called a Rasha, but he was also called a Tzaddik. He was Sholem, he was Mastikal of a Sadin, he was a good person, more or less, Tzidkiyahu. And yet, that's it. It came to an end. And where did the Malchus go back? It went back to the descendant of the one whose body was eaten up by dogs. Whose body was thrown to the dogs, thrown to a donkey, like a donkey, thrown to the dogs, like we learned yesterday, Yehoyachin. Yehoyachin's son was Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel became the Melech and the Bayis Sheni, and from him, Lachorah came all the kings, wherever it was called Malchus, and all the Nesim. I mean, the Malchus came to an end pretty quickly, not all that right away, but it was a Malchus, at least in the beginning, and then ultimately just turned into the Nesim. Okay. So this is something that is very interesting, and that's what I mentioned over here. In Rashi, so Rashi over here. Let's go back to the Rashi again. Rashi over here says, "Etikenka." One more time. Enatcha loshna hataka kusan l'tzicha ad hatikenu oisam v'hanun yisrabo v'amet shagodim mokam shnite shenis notak niskan. The place where you are poor, that's where you were fixed, you rectified. She'asa teshuva b'vavel, that this son that Yehoyachin, even though he was a Rasha, the son of a Rasha, his mother was also a Rishanta, but there when he came to Bavel, he did Teshuvah. V'nishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Nishnishva. We're going to read in a few moments the next part that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he made a Shavuah that Yehoyachin would die Ariri, childless. That was part of Hashem's Shavuah. Hashem, when he saw that Yehoyakim did Teshuvah, Hashem was Shoyel. He went to the Beis Shalmaila, and Hashem said, I want to have Charata on my Shavuah. I want you to renew, to annul my Shavuah, in order for me to allow Yechonya to have children. And indeed, Yechonya had a child.
Was it Charata or was it Pesach?
I don't know. Interesting. It's interesting. It probably is a lot of drush. Charata or Pesach. There are two ways to be shoyel. You either have charata, or you don't have charata, but it's called a Pesach. Had I known that this would have been the circumstance, then I would not have
annulment.
An annulment, right? Is a different time. I don't remember the lumbus. You have to mesach the shavuos with the shva. Shavuos to learn all the difference in the darim and shavuos all the chilukim between hatara, hafara, umafreya, mikan al haba. All the lumbus, what you need to do. Soon coming up, Hatara Sadarim is only less than a month away. Gotta get ready for this. Okay, fine. V'nishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Shenishba Kisvu Esh HaZari Gever. We're going to have that in a few moments. Pasuk Lamed. Hashem in a Shavua that this person, Yehoyakim, should die Ariri without any children. V'noilad lo Zerubbabel b'Bavel. Now notice, Rashi says, who was his son? His son was Zerubbabel. Rashi does not make mention of Shiltiel. He doesn't make mention of Asir. The whole long list of names in Divrei Hayamim, you would think that Zerubbabel was a great-grandchild. No, he wasn't. He was a son. And all of those names that are mentioned in Divrei Hayam are just more names describing the same person. We'll touch upon that soon. V'nema lo al-pi ha-navi. It says al-pi ha-navi, b'yomu on that day, e-ko-cha-cho, Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel. See, here is another name. Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, which Shealtiel really means his name for his father, Avi, v'samticha, I'm going to once again restore you kachoisam, like a signet, like a seal, a choisam. So that choisam is a very important word, because that choisam corresponds to what it says here in this pasuk. Here in this pasuk, Hashem makes a shvua, kon yohu ben yohayok melech yudah choisam al yad yimini, even if he was a choisam, I'm going to remove it. Ki misham ete kenka. I'm going to remove it. And Hashem over here is saying, I will shoyel on that shvua, and I once again will restore the child of this person, and once again make him into a chosim upon my right hand. This corresponds to what it says here in this pasuk. Kol Shbaruch Hu says he's going to remove it. Okay, pasuk Chavav. Pasuk Chavav, no, I'm sorry, we didn't do the Radak yet. Radak, okay, have a long Radak. The Radak explains a lot of important things. Pasuk Chav Dalet. Okay, Chav Dalet in the Radak. Chayoni. Kevan Shedibel Yehoyakim Dibel Gam Kein Al Yehoyakim Beno. Since we're discussing the father, Yehoyakim, so now we're going to shift to his son, who is Yehoyakim. Now, the big question, the $6 million question is, why here is he called Konyahu? We never had that name before. His name is Yehoyachin, or Yehoyachin. What happened to the Yud? So the Radak answers the question, Vikaru Konyahu Lipchisus, as an insult, a derogatory term. The most insulting thing you can do to a person is to not call him by his name. This is something which we don't appreciate in today's day and age.
No, you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to change it.
Change the name. So we don't appreciate this, but in ancient times, this was the greatest insult. The greatest insult is to publicly address a person by changing his name in a derogatory way, or just to leave out some letters, and it's clear who you are referring to. So that says you're nothing. Because you are your name, and when you don't give the person the respect by calling by the full name, that is the ultimate insult. Worse than throwing shoes at a person. That was also an insult in ancient times, but this is even worse. What? They still do it today, right? They did it to Bush. Remember that, Maisa?
Yeah.
But it's even worse to go and to take off the letter. Choisam al yad yimini kitabas, like a ring. Shechoisvim ba hakisav nikra choisam, like a ring which you seal. So the Radak is running like the parish of the Mitsudos, not like Rashi. We're not referring to a tattoo, we're referring to a signet ring which you put upon your right hand. It's called a choisam. Lechein simeni ka choisam al libecha, choisamcha upisilecha, your choisam and your psilecha. The tabas is not removed from the person's finger, not by day, not by night. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, even if Konyahu was like the choisam al yad hayimin, on the right hand, I would still take it off, and I will remove it. Now here he's explaining this very difficult word. Rashi already told us the secret. It's really a combination of two words, and he's just going to elaborate in more detail. Etikenka. So sharoshai, not take. Okay, I told you the aleph. I made a mistake. He says the sharosh is nun, tof kof. So what happened to the first nun? Where's the first nun? Well, what happened? So he says the dog is a tov. This is a rule in grammar. If you have a dot in a tov, Moira Chisaron Hanun. Magic. Okay, you just have to memorize these grammatical rules. You put a dot in the top that automatically makes believe there's a nun before. Magic. Now, fine. So we have now the Shoresh. Nun Tof Kuf. Question. Radak's question. So what then in the world is the second nun doing there? That's not part of the Shoresh. You should just have a Chof. The Hanun Achrein and Nesef is Knun Yivorach. Yivar Rachenhu. It's a grammatical insertion. It's also grammar. That the second is not part of the shorish. When you want to use the first person, you. So then that's the derech. Derech is sometimes you add a nun at the end of the word. Like you have this word. You give us an example. Yitzirenhu. Fine. Fine. That is the first interpretation. Nice two grammar rules.
Yeah.
Two grammar rules. We have the shoresh nun tof kuf. You can delete a first nun, the pei hapoyal. When the pei hapoyal is a nun, by adding a dot into the tof. And the second grammar rule is sometimes when you want to speak in first person, or not necessarily first person, you want to give the word a little more flavor, in the suffix you're allowed to add a nun. Next. The Yesh Dorash, it's a drush. Notice he's precise. This is not grammar. This is a drush. The reason why the nun is added here at the end of the word, even though we could have avoided, Ala nun ayser amru shemokam shenotak sham nisakein tikun. There is another word here, and that word shorish is tof kuf nun. The nun is part of the shorish. It's the lamed poil. Why? And there means rectification. And now we take these two words together. Because when Yechonia was taken down 11 years before the exile and he was put in prison, he did teshuva, and Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted his repentance, and Hashem annulled his oath. The noilad lo ben bebeis suasurim, and he had a child in prison. If I'm not mistaken, I think they lowered a woman to him in the dungeon. That was him. He was in the dungeon. Those days, the jails were not like in America. Okay, those days, the jails, they were hanging on chains in a dungeon, in some dungeon, and they lowered a woman. They lowered a woman also by some type of chain into this dungeon in close to him, and he fathered a child. And that child was who we call Zerubbabel. What?
I had a little visit.
Right, okay. They saw Surim. Michelle Ben Umona. The Radak doesn't follow Rashi, right? He says it was a grandchild. Zerubbabel was a grandchild. Moshel. I'm not sure I'm reading that word right. He ruled. Moshel. I'm not sure how to read that. Ben Binoy. Moshel. He ruled. He ruled Ben Binoy Zerubbabel Ben Shiltiel BeYehuda BeYoshev Al Kisei David. The Bayis Sheni got off to a start with a new Melech whose name was Zerubbabel, and that was the grandson of Yechonia. And even though Hashem made a shuv that says Ariri, you're going to die as an Ariri, Hashem says he was an old shuv in Ilan. It's a Merdeka Musa Haskel for us, is that it's never too late. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what the Gzeira is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if it's a Chayoni, it's a Shavua, Hashem can always be Sholon as Shneder, and there's always hope. Shuvah, Ubaisim Tovim, Ma'avidim, Esaroya HaGzeira. Even when it's going to be a shvua, the amaloi, Hashem said, Hashem prior changes mind. V'samticho kechaysam, I'm going to make you as a chaysam, a signet ring, kineged masha amar la'aviv. We're opposite to correspond what it says here in this passage. That even if you would be a chaysam, I will remove you. Im yeh konyahu chaysam al yadiminim ki misham etikenka. Okay, so that concludes this pasuk. Now we go on to the next pasuk. Next pasuk says pasuk chaf hey. Over here, Hashem is speaking to Yehoyakim. Yehoyachin, the son of Yehoyakim. Your father's going to die. He's going to be fed to the dogs, as we learned yesterday. And you, Yehoyakim, are going to be taken into exile. I'm going to deliver you biad mevakshin nafshecha ubiad asherato yogor mibnehem. I'm going to deliver you into the hands of the people who you are terrified of. These people have no rach. Notice the resh again. In the Yirmi, it's very common to have the resh instead of the nun. So it says over here four different groups. And I don't know what the significance is. There's Nevakshin Nafshecha, Nevayarato Yogar Mibnehem, Nevuchadretzar, and the Kastim. Four different groups are going to lay their hands on you and do to you what they want. Each one obviously had their own agenda, and what the deeper meaning of this pasuk is beyond me. Okay, let's see over here. Let's do another pasuk. Ve'heitalti oischa I'm going to cast you, to throw you down. Now here is a very important insight. V'yas'imicha asher yilodascha. And your mother as well. According to the Pshut Shel Mikra, over here the Pasuk is giving us a record that the wife of Yehoyakim was a Machashefa, a Rashanta, and she raised him to do Averos, and that's why you and your mother also going to suffer. Now Yehoyakim was dead. He was killed. He was fed to the dogs. So the one that's left is the queen mother. The queen mother, she's also going to go into exile, and together with Yehoyachin, ala aretz ha'acheres, on another land, a foreign land, that's Bavel, asher lo yuladetem sham, where you were not born, v'sham tamus, when there you shall die. You will not have kavura, and you will not have misa and kavura in Eretz Yisrael, both the mother and the son. The Farshim point out, we'll see in a moment that since why we mentioned that you were not born on this land, that this is an interesting scientific insight, is that you're not used to the environment. The person's DNA, I guess, you know, part of this the evolution, you adapt, and the person becomes. You're used to a certain environment, and if you take a person who's been living for generations in one environment and you uproot him, you put him in Alaska, you put him in another environment that you're not used to, even though you have all the best vitamins and blankets and everything, is it's just not what your body is used to. It's not a healthy environment for you, and it can cause premature death. That's what the Farshim say, and that's what they meant. You're just not used to the climate. You're not used to the environment in Babel, so no matter what you're going to do there in Babel, it's not going to be good for you. You're not going to adapt, and you're going to die prematurely. We'll see that in the Farshim. Pasuk Chavav, V'ala Aretz. Now here's another interesting point. V'ala Aretz, Asher Heim, what? Chazayin, V'ala Aretz, Asher Heim, Minasines Nafsham. Now this means you lift up your neshama. False expectations. It was always echoing in the mind, in the head of Yehoyachin, the words of the Nevi'e Sheker, do not worry, you're coming back home very, very soon. Yehoyachim and Yehoyachin were heavily influenced by the Nevi'e Sheker, and they always said, don't worry, Churban's not going to happen. Even if you do go into exile, it's only temporary. Nebuchadnezzar is going to take you down to Babel. Okay, he'll torture you there a little bit, but don't worry, you're coming back. You'll be back before Yom Tov. You'll be back home. That was so. Therefore, that's what it means here in the pasuk. When they were in Galus in Bavel, they always lifted up their eyes. Oh, we're coming back soon. Any moment there's going to be a change, a new regime change here in Bavel, and they're going to release us, and we're going to go back home. They always. Now that itself is very painful, because when you have false expectations, that can really torture you. If you know that you're not going back home. Closure. So just get on with it. Adapt. Adjust. But when you have false expectations, that can eat up a person, you're never able to go forward. It's nafsham. They lift up their neshama. Loshuv sham. Loshuv sham. Shama. Guess what? It's going to be torture. False expectations. Torture. Shama. There lo yoshuva. You will never return. Okay, these are powerful, three very powerful psukim. Let's see Pasuk Chafin, the Mitzudas David. Unisaticha biyad, four different categories. The Mitzudas says, don't get carried away here, there are four different categories. Just read the Pasuk very simply. Kofol hadavar pam rabos b'milim shaynos l'hagdil inyin l'hafchidai. It says four different categories, but it's really all the same. Okay, we're just trying to frighten Yehoyachin. I'm sure you'll find commentators that will tell you that the four different categories refer to four different tzukufas, no different than Yosef, right? Yosef, it says that all the psukim did, they were sold to the Midyanim and the Yishmaelim. He passed hands many times. When Yosef was sold by the brothers until he made his way down to Egypt, he went through many different hands. So, and each one obviously did something to him. Each one obviously humiliated him or had different plans for him until he ended up in Mitzrayim. And here also it says there'll be four different categories, so we don't really know the depth of what exactly this means. The Mitzvah says.
The Malam says, at least on the first one, that it was the Jews that were after.
It was what? The first one, the Jews would kill him.
Jews were after.
After him.
That's what the Yogur. So it was a The other ones he doesn't explain.
Ah, okay, but you do see that all the Mepharshim, they do say there are many groups that would get his hands on that would humiliate him. Next, Pasuk Chavav, Vihitalti Oisram, I'm going to cast you Ashlich Oisram, it's a very derogatory term. I'm going to throw you down like a piece of garbage. I'm just going to cast you, throw you around like a frisbee. You and your mother, Asher Yilo Dascha, Asher Godlo Oischa, Leleches Bederech Horo'ah. Your mother was a Machashefa, a Shanta. She went and she raised you to do Averos. Pasik Chav Zayin, V'al Oretz, V'el Oretz, Al and El, we had it so many times, can be interchanged. And to the land which you are, have false expectations that you will return. Misnasim Es Nafsham, Mitzapim Umramimim Umavtichim Es Nafsham. Three words. You yearn, you uplift, and you have confidence. Your Nesham has confidence that you're going to return. False expectations can eat a person up alive. Shamar, it's an alema, loikenia, it's not going to happen. Kilo Yeshuvu Sham, you're not going to return to Eretz Yisrael. Rashi, Pasach Avavi, Talti, Loshin Hashloch, I'm going to throw you down, cast you down, Pasach Zayin, Misnasim Es Nafsham, Loshon Tanchumim. In other words, he's translating Misnasim means you always would give yourself comfort. The Mitzvah says you would uplift your neshama, which not only Rashi is coming to disagree, just a different focus. You would comfort yourself by saying, it'll be tomorrow, the sun will come out tomorrow. Tomorrow will be better. Tomorrow we will return. Lashon tanchumim shenafsham misnasei lehisnachem v'loyimar od noshav liartzenu. The day will come when we will return to Eretz Yisrael. I have so much charat, I never got to see Annie. I remember it was Chalamoi Tzukis and all my friends, they were going to see Annie. And I decided I don't want to go. Annie! They had the movie Annie, and I decided I'm not going. So I didn't go. I didn't go. And they all came back. And they were all telling me, oh, do you fool? Did you miss out? And I had such charat, I never lived it down. Ad Hayoim Hazeh. That I saw. E.T. I saw. I can never live it down. I have no interest now. I have no interest. Don't worry. Okay. Let's go weiter. Okay, let's see the Radak. The Radak in these three psukim. Pasik chaf, pasik chaf. Hey. Unisatiha, kol elu biyad. Now, kol elu biyad. I don't know what he's doing over here. He's coming to tell us that the word biyad here appears how many four times? Unisatiha biyad lakshem shach. Uviyad ato yogavim. Uviyad nevuchanetza. Uviyad hakastim. It says the yad here in this pasik four times. So what is the middle of the, how many hands do you have? By the way, you only have two hands, right? So what's the yad four times? Kalei lubiyad shama le'inyin omram. I don't know what that means. What does it mean, le'inyin omram? I have no idea what this means. V'chein asher hitzul eschem miyad mitzrayim u'miyad paro asher hitzul es ha'om mitachas yad mitzrayim. So what does anyone know what that means? Le'inyin omram? I don't know. It's an expression. I think it just means it's an expression. They say a saying. I think it means, you know, it's an expression. When it says here yad, yad is not to be taken literally. It just is an expression, which means you will be delivered under the jurisdiction, the authority of the power. That's all it means. And he says we have this in Chumash. This is nothing unique to Nevi'im. This is in Chumash as well. Uperusha, when it means via biyad mevakshin avshecha, it means shaloi yachmelu alecha. They will have no compassion upon you. Asherat hayogam b'beim, you are terrified of these people. Shaloi yilcho koyach lamud kenegdam. You know that once you get into their hands, they'll do to you whatever they wish. Ubiyanu v'chanetza melch bavel shu melech az v'kashe. He is powerful. K'moy shenemar alav Allah aryeh mis. Subichoy, the lion has come from the thicket. Umashchis goyim, and he destroys goyim nosa mimikoymoy. He's going forth from his place. Uviyad kastim shem goy az. The kastim are a nation that's az v'kasha asher lo yisafonim. They show no favoritism. They have no respect. They do not follow the Geneva Conventions. The kastim were known to be barbarians. They absolutely no. There are certain conventions in warfare. There are certain things you just don't do. There's certain things you don't do. They just don't care for thee. There's nothing that's beneath them. They are a nation that's bitter, that is terrifying. I'm going to cast you behind Vayotilu es hakelim, to cast down the utensils. Why does it say, why all of a sudden do we give mention to his mother, the mother who was the wife of Yehoyakim, that he, the son Yehoyakim, was similar to her in her evil deeds? That's why it says in Sefer Melach, it says the name of the mother. This is a very important insight that we, the Radak, is telling us. Why do we have so many times in Sefer Melachim it mentions the name of the mother, and you have the same thing in Sefer Divrei Hayamim? We learned this once upon a time. So sometimes it does say the mother, and sometimes it does not say the name of the mother. So there's significance, and that is subject to interpretation. The Radak is telling us that when it says the mother, it's coming to indicate that there was a similarity.
You take after your mother.
First time in the Torah, so there also there's a relationship that he did there, that he followed in the ways of the mother, and that's coming to state the record.
Okay,
so here the ideas of the I don't know what this means. The description without the ideas hatar, play hagefen nochwia hakeves echad hadud echad. So what do you know what this means? I don't know what this means. Some grammatical point he's making. The eretz acheres. You know what we are referring to without us going into the specifics. For example, the ideas hametuar. It's known the metuar, the object that we are describing, below yidias hatoyar, without giving us a title or a description, a specific description of which land I'm going to take. Everyone knows that we're referring over here to Bavel, the other land. What's the other land? Well, it's self-understood. I think it's all to me. I think over here you translate all of these words, yidias hametuar, below yidias hatoyar, you could substitute that for the words, it is self-understood. And the examples are, a vine that is corrupt. And that means Klal Yisrael has become corrupt. Hakeves Echad, one lamb. Which lamb? The one lamb. The lamb that has been designated. Hadud Echad, one pot. Okay, I don't know more than that. Asher lo yilad tam sham, you were not born over there. Shalei timsu sham b'nei mishpacha sheyirachmeu aleichem, you all have no relatives. You're going to be all alone in the foreign land. Sham temusu gamzu kolola kolamar be'eretz temei yemusu. And we learned this last time. You're going to die and be buried in a land that is contaminated. Pasuch of Zion, and the land that you are menasim v'al aretz kamoi v'aretz rabim kamohu. Yeah, the al and the el have to be interchanged. Asher he menasim es nafsham, that you lift up your neshama, you comfort yourself. Now he explains in more detail. Shahayu maftichem oisam nivei hashaker. The Radakovi really adds an interpretation that it's echoing in your head continuously the words of the nivei sheker that you're going to return to Eretz Yisrael very, very soon. Shayashuvu hagoylim ato now mehera swiftly. Shenemar hine klei veis Hashem. What were the words of the nivei sheker? They said, "Do not worry, the kalim are coming back." When Nebuchadnezzar appointed Yehoyakim, he took with him the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Nevi'ei Sheker always would tell the people, do not worry, the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash will be returned very soon. That was a lie. Hinech lechilei Beis Hashem ushavim mibavela, Ata Mehera, going to return very soon. Therefore, it echoed in his mind the words of the Nevi'im. That's why he always had confidence. He always had hope that he would return. He lifted up his head, uvoitchim al sheker, and faith in sheker. Hamelech Yehoyachin ushor ha-goylim. Okay, next. Pasuk of Ches, a hard pasuk. We have over here a number of descriptions describing Yehoyachin. Ha-etzef nivzeh nafutz ha-ish hazeh konyahu. Three very derogatory expressions. Are you Yehoyachin? Etzav means a sadness. You're a pathetic person. You look at someone looks at you, they say, what a pathetic person. Sadness. You invoke sadness. After looking at the person, you need to go to a shrink for some chizuk. You see a pathetic person. Nivzeh, you're despised. Nafut, you're shattered. Very interesting. Three different categories of people.
Nafut.
To be broken, broken, or shattered. Three different categories. People who are pathetic are not necessarily broken people. People who are broken are not necessarily despised. You have your person, you know, he has three different strikes against him. Pathetic, he's hated for his conduct, for things that he has done, and he's a broken person, no matter what you try to do. All the king's horse and all the king's men can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. So this is a broken person. That's a ha'ish hazek kinyahu. Is this really what you were meant to be? Is this, in other words, this is what you are. This indeed is what you are. This is what has become of you. But was this the plans that your father and mother had for you when you were born? Certainly not. And that makes it a lot. See, that's the fourth chasar. That makes it even worse. Because when you have someone for whom there was so much hope, and there was so much preparation and training, he went to the best schools, the best chinuch, everything was the best. And look what became of you. A pathetic, despised, broken person. And we don't even want to call you by your name. We're not to add insult to injury. We're not even going to call you by your name, Yehoyachin. We're going to call you by a derogatory nickname, Kanyahu. Next insult. In Kli, in Chefetzpo. Are you like a utensil that no one wants to touch? So even if you give it away for free, no one's going to want, no one will want to touch, will touch you. Madua hutluhu v'zaro, why has this person become displaced? Hutlu means, translating here loosely, means like to be removed. To be removed and to be uprooted, and here are the better translations. Why have you become displaced? Who bizarro? I've cast you down. So why have you been cast down? Now here is a very important thing that it says. This is a record that we would otherwise not know. Who bizarro? What children? He had no children when he was displaced. At the time when he was taken to Golis, there's no record that at that point in time he had any children. Because we know that he was going to die ariri, which seems to indicate, according to the very simple interpretation, when he was taken to Bavel, he had no children. And he was... Oh, that's what we learned from this pasuk. We only know that from this pasuk, because the question then would be, what was the big deal that he had no children? Did Nebuchadnezzar have to lower into the dungeon a woman so he can father a child? He must have had children from before he was taken into Gauls. When he was taken into Gauls, he must have been a grown adult. He must have had children. What happened to those children? So the answer is they were killed. They died. When Yehoyachin was taken into Golis, it's Hu v'Zaro, his children were taken down with him, they were all put in prison, and they all died. And the only one that was still alive was himself, Hu v'Zaro. V'hushluchu ala aretz, they were cast down into the earth, upon the earth, asher lo yodohu, that was not, and into a land, asher lo yodohu, that they did not know. Okay, running out of time over here, let's do another pasuk. Eretz. Okay, this is a hard, I really need to spend more time on this. I'll just read the pasuk anyway. Eretz, Eretz, Oretz. Okay, this is a very unusual expression in the Torah where you have words repeated three times. I don't even know that there's even somewhere else in the entire Tanakh that we have the same exact word repeated three times. Two is very common. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. Avraham, Avraham. In the Torah there, I think, what?
Yeah, that's very
true. There are 45. There are 45 different times in the Torah where you have two words next to each other that have exactly the same word, or Avram Avram, even if it's not exactly the same pronunciation, but at least it's the same letters. It's the same letters. So 45 times, if I'm not mistaken. But three you don't have. The only time we add three, as the Radak is going to quote, was back in Perak. What?
Kadosh.
Oh, very okay. That's an exception. Good, very good. Kadosh. It says Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Three times it says. Besides Kadosh, 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 that's good, one exception. What else we had before? It's not the same as Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem. So there it's not, it's two words. That's really unique to have two expression. That is another, which indeed the Mepharshim over here, the Radak is going to connect the Eretz, 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 to Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Hashem. Now here it says over here, Shimi, listen to Dvar Hashem. Listen to the words of Hashem. Okay, let's do one more pasuk. We'll still after this continue. We'll do one pasuk. Listen, what are the words of Hashem? The winding down is Koyamar Hashem. So says Hashem. Kisu eso ish hazeh. Write down concerning this man Yehoyachin. Ariri gever lo yitzlach biyamav. This man will die childless. The children that he had before he was exiled will die, and he will not have any new children in Galus. And when he comes to Bavel, he'll be a gever, he'll be a man, lo yitzlach biyamav, that will not be successful in his days. There's an expression today they say about people, he's a lo yitzlach.
Yeah.
So where does it come from? It comes from here.
Yeah.
This is the Susharish, he's a lo yitzlach. Whatever he does, he's not successful. It's a horrifying thing to say about a person. A lo yitzlach. He starts this business, goes bankrupt, does this, does no good, he starts this. It's a lo yitzlach. So you hear this expression, a lo yitzlach. Whatever he did in life, he was not successful. Right here is where it says it. But what's so interesting over here is, the key of the morning is, even though Taka Hashem made a shavua, that Yirmiyah, you can't get better than that. Hashem made a shavua that he should be Yehoyachin a lo yitzlach, yet he was a yitzlach. Hashem was shoyel on the shavua because he did teshuva. He had a child, and that child became the melech in the rebuilding of the Bayis Sheni. So whenever a person says about someone else, he's a lo yitzlach, big deal, doesn't mean anything, because he can always do teshuva. There's no greater lo yitzlach than Yehoyachin, whom Hashem made a shavua. Chai Hashem. Can't do better than that. And yet, Hashem himself was shoyel on the shvua and allowed him to be a yitzlach.
Say, Mazel
Yisrael. So that is a very not nice thing to say, and it means absolutely nothing. That's what you learn from this pasuk. Lo yitzlach b'yamav ki lo yitzlach mizaro. There will be never a person that will be successful from his seed. Ish yoshev al kisei David u'moshel oy b'Yehuda. And see, this didn't come true. This did not come true. Hashem changed his mind, so therefore it goes to show. Let's just at least do the
pasuk.
What?
Is there a pasuk that says that Hashem was shoyel on the planet?
Well, the Radak is going to elaborate. The Radak from Divrei Hayamim, Shiltiel, Radak says that the name Shiltiel is the name of Hashem. Hashem was Shoyel al Nidro. Shoal Kel. Hashem was Shoyel by the Bez Shalmaila to annul the Shavua. So, yeah, the Gemara says that Hashem was Shoyel. Okay. Now, let's, not a possible, but Hashem was Shoyel. Let's just do the Mitzvahs and we'll stop. We'll do the all the Mepharshim Torah. Let's just do the Mitzvahs quickly. The few Pesukim over here we've done. Pardon, Pasuk Chav Ches. Pasuk Chav Ches is for Etzev Nivzeh. Is he similar to an object and a utensil that is despised and shattered? That's the second part of the pasuk. Is he a utensil that is useless? What has become of this person? How has he become an etzef, a nivze, a nafutz, a kli, she'en b'chifetz? What has become of him? Asher lo yadu, they're going to be exiled into a land that is not known, ad hena, they never saw before. Pasuk haftes, eretz, eretz, oretz. Notice the third time it's an oretz because it's end of a sentence, end of a phrase. So it's eretz, 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 return to Laimar, Eretz, Shahisa, Eretz, Muchedet, Polarotos, Voila, Al Kulan. It is an expression of uniqueness, elite. Eretz, the holy Eretz Yisrael, there's nothing comparable to it. It's super. I once told a person, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Read the Targum. The first Kadosh is Hashem is holy in Shemayim. The second Kadosh means Hashem is holy on the earth. And the third Kadosh is Hashem is holy in Zman. So this person said to me, I never knew that. He actually was here in the shir that time, this person. He was here in the shir, and we did this on Friday, and he told me afterwards, I never knew that the Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh refers to three different types of Kedusha. I never knew, was never paid attention to the Targum that we say every single day of Volution. Is I always thought Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh means super duper holy. That's what I thought it meant. Super duper, triple. And that's what it means over here. Eretz, Eretz, Oretz means super duper. Like, you know, the Shalosh Shuddis, we have a Shalosh Shuddis, we have a deluxe Shalosh Shuddis, we're having a super duper deluxe Shalosh Shuddis.
By the way, in Parshas Re, you have Eretz, Asher Elohim says five times.
But not after. So here the...
They call it emphatic, Semitic triple. And there's supposed to be one more in
the Chesed. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so three, triple over here means super duper deluxe. Eretz Yisrael is a super duper deluxe. That's what it means. V'oila al kulan. Ho'ish hazeh, hu kan yahu ariri, he will die childless. Sheyiyeh ariri v'tzem olemar nishchas v'nechav, he'll be destroyed. U'l'tosefes beir omar sheyigever shelo yitzlach l'kol yamav. He's the mia of the lo yitzlach. Ki b'yamav lo yitzlach ish mezar l'sheves al kisei hamelucha l'lum shol b'yehuda. Why? Ki kishagolo hu lo nidna hamelucha l'zar, when he went into exile, the melucha was not given to his children. Ki kiim l'tzit kiyo dodo. When he died, that's the ultimate insult. When he went into exile, so at least his son shall replace him, right? No. When he went into exile, who replaced him? Tzidkiyahu, the uncle replaced him. There was nothing in his, none of his children's lifetime succeeded him. Aval, here is the silver lining. Aval, la'acha moisai haya memshalo lirzubavel, shahaya mizaro. Ultimately, the Malchus was doing, okay, tomorrow we'll do the Rashi and the Radak, we'll stop over here.